Hey, this is Phil Kaplan. Jenny Bishop and I have embarked on a series of little recorded segments where we're talking about some of the issues, concerns, and some of the ingredients in the Thrive product to give people a little bit of clarity or a better understanding to some of the things regarding some of the things where there's often a knee-jerk reaction. So, Jenny, what are we going to talk about today?
Today, we are going to talk about soy. It's another hot topic, I feel like, in society, and we want to educate people. What kind of soy is in Thrive? You know, what are the amounts? How is it sourced? So I just want to give them some education and some tools so when they're, you know, taking it out there and people are questioning, they have some good answers.
Okay. Well, let's start with this. I don't manufacture the Thrive products, nor do you. We are promoters for a product line we believe in. And because it is a proprietary formula, I have to be honest, I don't know exactly how much soy is in there. But I do know that this is one of the areas where there is a knee-jerk reaction, and I know enough for me to feel comfortable with the product. So from that perspective, I think when people hear about soy, again, the little red flag goes up and they go bad, right? Soy is bad. So they see it on the label and they go, oh, this can't be good.
Yeah.
And I know that many of those same people will go to a Japanese restaurant and snack on edamame.
Yeah, and they don't even know.
Yeah. So yeah. It's the word on the label rather than the understanding of what it is. So, well, let's start with edamame. Do you eat edamame?
No.
You don't. Is there a reason you don't?
I don't personally like it.
You don't like the taste, or you're just afraid to have a soy product? You just don't like the taste.
Yeah, I really just don't like the taste.
Okay. So edamame is a soybean, but it's an immature soybean. Normally, they wouldn't harvest it yet, but because of the texture and it makes for a good snack food, they harvest it, and it becomes a little bit of an appetizer. And if I wanted to make an argument for the health benefits of it, I could. I could say that soybeans, edamame, are high in alpha-linoleic acid, which would be the omega-3 that we hear so much about. I can say that as a plant-based food, they're high in protein. In fact, they have a very complete amino acid profile. I could say they contain isoflavones, which we hear a lot about related to them being healthful, especially when people are promoting plant-based diets. And if we really looked at it, we can say, well, there's vitamin E and there are B vitamins. So it looks like it's healthy. So what's bad? Well, too much soy is bad, and bad soy is bad. So what happened? How come soy at one time was thought of as something good and then it flipped to the bad side? I think what happened is it found its growth in popularity around the time that meat was villainized, that people stopped eating meat, right? They heard that it contributes to heart disease and animal products were demonized and villainized. And soy was now held up as here is this great plant-based protein that is very similar in its amino acid makeup to animal protein. So there was a tremendous amount of appeal. And as people moved away from meat products, those people who grow and manufacture soy products saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
So marketing-wise, the soy industry did a very, very good job. And interestingly, one of the waste products from taking soybeans and pressing them into oil was sold opportunistically as a protein isolate, soy protein isolate. So here is a waste product, very much like whey protein, by the way, was a waste product of the manufacture of cheese. Soy protein isolate was a waste product from the pressing of oil. So the soy industry said, we have a lot of this stuff, and suddenly there's a lot of demand, so we can make a lot of money. In addition, soy is abundant. It is inexpensive to grow. And I think as the food manufacturers began to explore its versatility, they realized they could make fake foods. They could make fake cheese. They can make fake burgers. You've seen all the soy products, right? They make fake turkey. So soy became a gold mine. So I think the problem became a problem because there was an over-reliance on soy in people's diets. They're like, I'm eating healthy now. I cut out meats. I'm having soy cheese. I'm having soy milk. I'm having soy burgers. And soy is far from a perfect food. So I'll get to some of the inherent risks in soy in a minute. But first, we have to address what is now the biggest issue. Almost all of the soy sold commercially is genetically modified.
GMO. Yeah, exactly right.
So why would they genetically modify a crop? Well, what is the enemy of the crop? Bugs and weeds. So if they can kill the bugs and kill the weeds and not kill the crop, they could make more money. The problem is if they take soy in its natural form and they grow it and they try to drench it in herbicide and pesticide, they will kill the soy. So they genetically modified the plant so it could withstand very high levels of toxic chemicals.
My gosh, that sounds like it would be so good for us.
Well, this is why they genetically modify it. So they could grow more plants quicker without interference. And the way they do it is by literally filling it with poison. So now the plants are genetically modified to withstand the poison, but we're not. So big agriculture makes a lot of money as human bodies are filled with toxic chemicals from eating these plants. Even if your soy milk and your soy chips and your soy ice cream say healthy on the labels, if they're made from GMO soy, as in all likelihood they are, they're going to do you harm. So we haven't even gotten to the health issues that are inherent with soy, even the soy nature created. We hear about phytochemicals in plants, and I mentioned earlier that we hear that they're very good. And they are. But too much of anything or an overabundance of something that impacts your hormonal health can lead to massive health disruptions. And soy is not only high in phytoestrogens, but it is probably higher in phytoestrogens than just about any other food. So phytoestrogens are plant-based, but they literally mimic the female hormone estrogen in the human body. So when you put in too much estrogen or you throw the balance off, then you completely interrupt sex hormone production, you completely affect the endocrine feedback loop, and this contributes to a whole host of sex hormone imbalances and symptoms. So too much soy is bad. Too much soy can also disrupt the activity and efficiency of the thyroid. Soy will prevent your thyroid from getting the necessary amount of iodine. So these are bad things. It doesn't mean soy is bad, but it does mean too much soy is bad. And I can keep going. Soy contains phytates, which you might have heard of. They inhibit enzymes and they block the absorption of minerals. So now, after I'm saying all this, how can I be at all comfortable with any product that has soy on the label?
Yes, that's going to be my next question. So soy is so bad.
Well, most of the time, most of the time when you see soy on a label, it doesn't even say soy. It says hydrolyzed protein or monoglyceride, or it might say soy lecithin or soy concentrate or soy isolate. Or if you're ready for this, it might say vegetable broth. And that contains soy. As a matter of fact, canned tuna, if you look at the cans of tuna in the grocery store, you'd think that you'd pick it up and it would say ingredients, tuna. But you're going to see vegetable broth in many of those cans. That is broth made from soy. So it is so present and so prevalent in so many foods that honestly Americans are eating so much. And by the way, you know, we hear that, oh, in Asia they're so healthy and they live long because they eat soy. Americans eat so much more soy than they do in Asia. So knowing that just Americans in general are taking in a lot of soy, if someone said, hey, Phil, I'm going to start using a soy protein powder as a meal replacement, I would say don't.
Yeah.
Because then they'd be consuming two or three times a day, what, 15 to 25 grams of soy. That would be too much, and I would say that would significantly increase the risk of hormonal imbalance and thyroid imbalance and everything else we spoke about. But we're not talking about a soy protein powder. We're talking about Thrive, in particular the shake, which is a multi-nutrient probiotic enzymatic power with pea protein as its predominant source of protein. Not soy, pea protein.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is a bit of added soy. So again, I have to come back to the amount. There is a bit of added soy. I said earlier, the problem is not soy. The problem is too much soy. But let me also say the soy that is added is non-GMO. So everything that I said about GMO soy does not apply here. But here's the most important word I'm going to use. It is fermented.
Yeah.
And
so
the soy.
The difference. What does that mean? Because everybody's going to say, what the heck does that mean? So we know what fermented means. So explain what that means and what the difference is.
Well, the fermentation process changes the structure of a food and makes it basically a living culture for probiotics. Probiotics are the good bacteria, the friendly bacteria. And these help to support health. They help to nourish the gut. They increase the good digestive flora. They improve the microbiome. They boost the digestion of food, the absorption of nutrients. So everything I just said about soy being a villain in impairing or impacting digestion negatively is reversed when it's fermented. The majority of the immune system we now know lives in the gut. Getting fermented anything into the gut supports the immune system.
Yeah.
So unlike genetically modified soy, soy that has gone through fermentation is lower in any of those nutrient-blocking substances, is lower in anything that might be considered toxic, is easier to digest, lower in phytates. Everything that I said earlier, it's kind of the opposite. But there's something else that's a tremendous benefit. Now, we're not going to have time to talk about this now, but certainly a very important topic is vitamin K2. And vitamin K2, it does only good. it helps keep your blood vessels flexible. It helps make sure that the calcium in your bloodstream ends up where it's supposed to. It helps maintain the strength of your skeletal system. It helps support muscle health and nerve health. And we don't get a lot of it in our food, and fermented soy happens to be a very good source. So anyway, it's another example of people just looking at something and wanting it to be categorized as good or bad, and what they fail to do is ask the questions. And when you really ask the questions, then you could make an educated decision. So knowing what I know and sharing what I shared, I'm using the Thrive Shake every single day, and I'm very careful about what I put in my body.
Yeah.
So I think that when people...
And I also just want to, I want to add real fast that I have many, many, many people who are on the Thrive product who, you know, were apprehensive to soy or they had adverse effects to the other types of soy, right? Like it did not sit well with them in their bodies. And when they have gotten on the Thrive product, I think it's important to say that they don't have those adverse effects because of the difference. The differences that we're speaking of.
Yeah, if I had to really give a word to genetically modified soy as it is present in most foods, I could comfortably use the word toxic. But this is not that.
Yeah.
So soy is not bad. Bad soy is bad. Soy is not bad. Too much soy is bad. So when you understand, I'd say the thought that went into the Thrive formulation, and you get away from the just simple good, bad, knee-jerk reaction, you realize that the soy in this product is a very valuable part of its overall virtue and its overall benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good enough?
Perfect.
Okay, so, let's wrap this up and we'll move on to the next one at another time.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.